This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine, Hayden Wallen. The gang is all here and accounted for as we get set to talk sports and other things on this Monday, October 18th. How are we today, Hayden? Thumbs down. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
A thumbs down from the boy.
And kind of a little bit of a frown right there, too.
Man, he looks, should have been three thumbs down.
Really?
Cam, what about you? All bundled up?
It's cold outside. I don't like this anymore.
I'm out
already. This isn't for me. I woke up this morning and didn't have the air conditioning on or anything, and my house was still like 64 degrees, and I was like, oh, this isn't going to fly.
I do like it cold in the house, though, to be honest. Oh, bundle up with a blanket, nothing better.
No, not for me. I want my house to be warm. I want it to be a safe space. A safe space from the elements outside. I think that's the whole point of a shelter. So, yeah, 64. That was not working for me, but...
Cam's probably blasting that. 75 in there in his home.
I would.
80-degree weather.
I would. I'd keep it nice and cozy. But besides that, I'm doing good.
Good to see.
Can't complain.
All right.
Forgot I'm going out of town this week.
What day are you going?
Wednesday.
Wow.
Would have been nice to get a heads up. Okay. I guess we'll figure it out.
I keep forgetting. It's like sneaking up on me.
All right. Tomorrow, remind us, we have to teach intern Cody how to run the board.
Yes.
Hayden, you got to stay till 3 o'clock on Wednesday, so just tell your professor sorry.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Priorities.
Came into the studio to hear Draven singing, so I'm assuming he's doing really good.
Doing fantastic, my friend.
Love to see it.
Doing fantastic.
Did you have fun at the game on Saturday?
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. It really did ruin it, just the ending, of course. The experience was great, the lights, everything. Third down for what? How about that? How about that coming back, Hayden? I know you started jumping up and down when you heard that song come on. Woo!
I will say that the game day presentation is really good.
The night game
maybe just makes it, and the sold out, you know, sold out with Checker.
Checker, all that.
Maybe all that makes it better than it actually is, but shout out to
Danny White. They did really a great job, though. Just the fireworks, all the pregame stuff. I mean,
fireworks are beautiful.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was awesome. It really was.
And I'll say that it does seem like Stroll the Pearl does a good job of firing the student section up. With the, you know, I do feel like that actually helps. Again, you were playing a top 15 team with a coach that you kind of love, kind of hate, I don't know, that you really want to beat. So the atmosphere was good. I mean, we've had good atmospheres before the light show and the music and all that, but it did hit pretty good on Saturday.
It looked good on TV, too. It did.
Yeah. You said it got ruined for you at the end.
Did it not for you? I mean,
I thought it was just kind of surreal to be there.
Yeah, I was glad I was there. I've been like, you know, watching that on TV.
I mean, I didn't throw
close to the same.
I didn't throw anything.
Don't you lie.
I didn't throw
John,
anything.
John, don't you lie.
I was third row, bro.
they're arresting people, man. There's like 47 arrests. You guys see that?
I was third row, bro. The cops were looking me right in the eyes. I couldn't throw anything.
Yeah, I had a cop right next to me, too. Yeah. And they were like, I don't know about you, but they were running up and down the aisles just bringing, like, every 5 minutes, here came somebody else they were bringing back up.
There was about six cops that ran past me and up into, like, the corner of the end zone to get somebody. I think there was a fight there, though. I think a fight might have broken out there, it seemed like, because they went storming up there grabbing people. So wasn't exactly sure what was happening, but I was on the Tennessee side as well, so if I had thrown something, I just would have hit. Actually, I would have hit Tyon Evans because he was sitting right in front of me. Like, if I'd have thrown something, he just would have been the only person that got hit. So.
Well, hell, everybody else throwing stuff was mainly hitting our cheerleaders. I mean, honestly, cheerleaders were the ones taking the beating out there.
Of course, that does become the story nationally. You know, I did say in my video that we were going to reintroduce ourselves to the country, and we did do that. Neyland Stadium, you saw the good and the bad. I don't think we have to come out here and say, hey, guys, don't throw things at people. Seems to be kind of one of those understood things. I think, you know, it was embarrassing, but at the same time, I think it's stuff that happens kind of more frequently than we think. I mean, I know that maybe people wait till the game is over. Maybe that's the difference here because, you know, people point it to the Ole Miss basketball game. You know, we're down there in Oxford, 2019. Mm-hmm. The game was over when they started throwing things, so maybe that's the difference is it didn't, like, delay the game for 30 minutes.
Yeah, thanks for that.
So it's really just, I mean, it's the same concept, though. Like, they're throwing at basketball players and coaches who don't have helmets and pads on. So, I mean, like you would say, it was even more dangerous. I use that loosely. I don't think a water bottle is hurting anybody. Now, the golf ball, if the golf ball would have hit somebody, the golf ball could have put at least a knot on somebody's head. I don't think it's going to kill anybody, but
it's pretty close to hitting Kiffin in the head, honestly. Hit him in the leg. I mean, going to say, it's a hell of a throw, whoever threw it.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty impressive.
If they were aiming for Kiffin... If they were aiming for Kiffin, it was a beautiful throw.
I would say they were probably aiming for Kiffin.
But it was a beautiful throw.
What
do
you think?
I mean, maybe.
They might have just been chucking it. You don't know.
I assume they were aiming for Kiffin, and it was a beautiful throw.
There's some impressive throws, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some water bottles almost getting to the 30, 40-yard line. Yeah. I was like, damn, okay. Yeah.
Cole Kublik acting like he's in Iraq over there, like standing next to the bottle, like on the ground. A real Anderson Cooper over there.
Wow.
Getting your scenes from the carnage.
What a trooper, man.
You know, it is the story of the game.
And it shouldn't be. That's what pisses me off, John. It shouldn't be. That was a great game, man. Yeah, officiating, we'll talk about that. But, man, at the end of the day, that was a great game. That was. And it got ruined by that. Just a little bit.
I didn't think it got ruined.
Well, like you said, that's what literally everybody's talking about yesterday, the next day, that night.
I don't think the game was a classic in the sense like people would have been talking about that across the country or anything. Like I think here in Knoxville we would have had a different conversation. Probably would have been more so about just missed opportunities, but I don't think nationally it ruined a classic. It was a fine game. I mean, it was back and forth, or at least it was close. Tennessee had some chances. I believe three drives in the fourth quarter with a chance to take the lead, and they didn't get any points, so that was frustrating.
It does kind of piss me off a little bit, though, when people are like, oh, well, this other team did it. Whoa, well, Ole Miss's basketball team did it. It's like, it's still not cool. It's still not good throwing stuff onto the field.
Two
wrongs.
Especially,
like you said, when the game was not over. We got the ball back.
Well, that's why I didn't leave, because I knew we had three timeouts Matt Corral was out. So I was like, we're going to get the ball back. Now, I didn't think we would be...
What, 20-yard line?
I didn't think Velus Jones would get us back to midfield, you know, to kind of make up for the blunder of the game that is... Huge afterthought, him muffing that punt to start the game. I mean, I think that sunk you from the get-go. But
killed us.
Yeah, and then you get down to the 20, and you're like, okay, you got a couple chances. And then, of course, Hooker goes out, and you're like, all right. Well, Hooker, I guess, went out on the 30. But then, then Milton hits one pass. You're like, okay, maybe. I was talking to myself. I was like, all right, with his arm strength, maybe he can just throw a rope, like a nice little like in route, a nice little skinny post. He can just throw a rope and beat the defense because they're all obviously going to be dropped there. At the goal line, but he throws 115 miles an hour, so like maybe he'll just put one right on somebody's chest, and of course he scrambles around and wastes 8 seconds on the first one, but he did throw a dime.
He did.
Seth Tillman should have caught that pass.
I think he timed his jump a little wrong.
He timed his jump wrong.
Yeah.
He should have caught it. It was there. That would have been one of the best moments inside of Neyland Stadium ever.
Could you imagine? For all that? Man.
All the trash talk to the national media would have gone up 100-fold. How had we disgraced the game and then got our team recomposed and ended up getting a defensive stop and winning that game? But instead, it was inches away, and you didn't make the play. And then, of course, Joe Milton runs out of bounds and looks up at the clock, thinking he has more time. Yeah. And I'm just like, what a long three seconds. What is wrong with him? And like, I think that play is 10 times worse than what Garantano did last year or 2 years ago at Alabama.
With the QB snake?
Yeah. 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That's the low of the low when it comes to football IQ. Like,
and people said they never want to see Garantano play again after that. Of course, he did. But I do feel like I don't want to see Joe Milton out there again.
Well, what's the update on Hooker? Do we have an update on that guy?
I don't know if we have an official update, but it didn't look good. Like,
it didn't look good.
Hooker's prop.
He was already banged up going into that play.
Yeah.
Right.
I would think that Hooker's going to be out for an extended amount of time. Like, that's not me reporting anything. I don't know, but just they're saying they're doing ligament testing. They're waiting on tests. Like, it just.
Oh, God.
He's definitely going to be out this week. Maybe after the bye week he could miraculously recover, but I'm not banking on it.
We have to have him for the Kentucky game.
I'm personally thinking he'll be out for the year. But again, that's just my personal feeling, seeing the way he limped off.
Oh, God.
That's how I feel. Hmm. And if that's the case, then you are, you know, readjusting your opportunities. Like, beating South Alabama and Vanderbilt should still happen, but
I don't know. Vandy didn't look terrible.
Well, I mean, with Joe,
hanging in there.
That's the thing with Joe Milton. Like, if he plays against Vandy, like, it might be a close game because he's very bad at football.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Now, Vandy's terrible, we know, but they have improved a little bit. But, like, that comes back on the table. With Hendon Hooker, I think we all feel like we could beat Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
With Joe Milton, you ain't beating Kentucky, I don't think. So, you lost the game. You maybe lost the season. Not a shock, but the national media is mad at you again. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. We're off and running in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. Only 100 calories and 1 gram of sugar. Please drink responsibly. Cam, send us to break. We'll come back. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Apex Pest Control is your...
Back on the program. I will say a shout out for Third Down for What? It's one of those things that it went away, but damn it, when it came back, it did make us go crazy, and then they scrambled for a first down.
I was going to say, it was a little disappointing to get a
first. It went over two.
First.
Yeah. Because it's like every big third or fourth down, you had Matt Corral just decide he was going to scramble for 8 yards and pick it up.
How frustrating was that, John? How frustrating was that knowing, like, it's probably going to be a quarterback scramble and we still just could not stop it? The dude had almost, 200 yards? He had 195.
He would have had 200 yards if you take out the 5 sacks.
In college football,
they take it away for sacks. Like, he had 30 rushes, which they count those as rushes as well. So 25 rushes for basically 200 yards. It was very frustrating. But with that being said, yeah, it was frustrating for them to just kind of be able to matriculate the ball down the field, but it didn't lead to a lot of points. They scored 31 total points, and 7 of them came on a, you know, first and goal that you handed them when you muffed a punt.
And you stopped them on that drive, too. Tennessee had a penalty in the end zone that put them at the – that gave them another set of downs.
Yep.
Got to hold them to a field goal, so.
Yep. So, like, I mean, yes, it was frustrating that Matt Corral had as many yards as he had, but at the same time – I mean, I think we all here would have universally locked in 31 points from Ole Miss, right? If you tell me before the game you're going to allow Ole Miss to score 31 points, we'd all say, hammer it, lock it in, let's go. And then I know everyone in the world would have sold a kidney to say that Ole Miss is only going to score second half, 1 touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like, 1 touchdown in the second half. That was it. 7 points. And yet you found a way to lose, which – Yeah, you kind of got screwed. I don't understand how that wasn't a touchdown on the strip fumble. I don't get it.
Forward progress. I mean, the guy's got to be going forward. Corral was, like, not really getting pushed back or anything. He was just getting tackled,
and
right?
It was pretty instantaneous. I mean, it was within a...
Somebody else seen something different, because obviously not seeing it on the TV is a little different, but seeing it live, it looked like just a simple tackle and him fumbling going to the ground. It was a weird play to begin with, because he was just kind of standing there,
Seeing it live, I assume that there was a false start or an offsides that was like they're
going to
blow
the play.
Yeah,
it looked like the play stopped. That's what I thought.
And I saw someone quote tweet the video and say like Ole Miss runs that sometimes like kind of a hidden ball trick where McCarroll just actually doesn't have the ball and then like I guess somebody breaks down the field. I don't know. Like because they did the play action right to the jet sweep. And
yeah.
Then
yeah.
I guess he's supposed to just act like he doesn't have the ball and just kind of stand there. And then
he got killed. He got leveled.
And
I think that might have threw the refs off a little bit too, just how that play kind of went down because they blew it dead. I don't know. Like,
no, they didn't. They didn't blow it dead. Yeah,
well, I'm just saying, they said they blew it dead. They said the play was over.
They didn't say they blew it dead. They're like, hey, we didn't blow a whistle. We let it go out, but his forward progress was stopped, which...
The refs were running with the guy into the end zone. Like,
the guy who was standing right there ran into the end zone. Like, I don't understand how you turn around and go back and then... Because, you know, you'll see that every now and then a guy breaks free with the ball, and, like, you'll see the clock actually stop, and then... Or you'll hear the whistles, and you'll see it, but, like, there was none of that, and they just kind of got together after him and said, actually, he was down.
Yeah. Oh, I will say we can be mad about it, but we did, get the ball still at midfield, pinned them deep, got a safety, and then scored right after that. So we got 9 points out of it, which was better than probably just getting 7 out of it, in my opinion. So there's kind of another way to look at that.
Well, I guess I would have rather just had the scoop touchdown because I think it does more for your just mentality and
the crowd.
Like,
the crowd would be really livid then.
Just
huh?
rattles corral. And, like, yeah, I mean, I think it just does more for you. What it did for your crowd, on the other hand, was just lead to, the bottle throwing because that wasn't about the 4th and 24 spot. It was about the blown touchdown call. Was it 17? Was that the official count? 17 or 15 second half cramps for Ole Miss in 50-degree weather?
All I know is I heard Charlie say that they had 34 or 38 injuries during the game.
I saw it was like 17. It was either 15 or 17 in the second half of just like the cramps.
It wasn't even hot.
Again, yeah, it's 50 degrees.
Yeah. I mean, the SEC is going to do something about that next
year. That's not going to do anything for us. Like,
well, I mean, what are you going to do, though, man? It's an injury. Like, you can't do anything right now until you have a rule in place. Like, what do you expect at this point? We knew it was coming. We talked about it before the game as well.
Sure.
We said Ole Miss is going to be dropping like flies probably.
But we also have seen this for how many years now in a row? 7, 8? I mean, it's been going on for a long time.
This is the worst I've ever seen in a game. Maybe it's just being there. Maybe it's just killing the momentum every time. But I've never seen it like that.
What game? We had an opponent that did that to us, like, really comically. Was it West Virginia? Was it somebody like that that just basically was just walking and then just actually got shot and fell down? Like, really? I don't remember.
I remember what you're talking about, but I can't remember what team that is.
But, like, this has been, like, going on for 8 years, and it's not a Tennessee problem. Everyone does it. Now, I will say, yeah, it doesn't change this game, but Tennessee needs this rule to get in place because if they're going to be going as fast as they're going to be going –
yeah.
Under Josh Heupel, like, more teams are going to take advantage of this rule. Sankey came out and said, like, hey, it's not an SEC problem, it's a national problem. I'm in favor of having to sit out or at least the rest of possession.
Yeah.
Which I think would, if you have 3 guys go down 1 possession to this, and all of a sudden you're in, getting into your depth, that might change things.
Especially for Ole Miss, who's not a very deep team on defense.
If they do it for 2 series or 3 series or a quarter, like, then you're really going to get rid of it. And maybe you do have to go that extreme. Because you can't police it during the game. Now, Ole Miss wasn't even trying, man. Ole Miss wasn't even trying to hide it. You'd had guys go down right before the snap. Like, they'd be out there standing perfectly fine and then just go down. Yeah. Number 6, I don't even know his name, but the defensive back, the cornerback, like, on our second to last drive, he just went down right before the snap. Tailman's pointing at him like, come on, man, he's faking it. He goes off the sideline, comes back on after one play, and then is, like, over there, like, mocking the crowd and, like, bouncing around, like, not injured at all.
The best one was, like, one of the last ones of the game. I can't remember. It might have been the corner on the Tennessee sideline.
Well, that's who I'm talking about.
Yeah, he goes down, and then he, like, gets up and runs off the field.
That was, like, number 41 or something.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, he just got and was like, okay, I'm going to jog off the field now. And we're like, whoa, hold on. Now, this isn't just an Ole Miss problem. Again, teams have done this for a while. Now, Ole Miss has gotten called out on it twice in a row, quite 2 weeks in a row. Like, Sam Pittman was mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it did do its job, though, because Tennessee did not look to be in rhythm.
Not at all.
They could not find a rhythm offensively, either through play calling or just, getting it going and then getting up to the line. Like, it seemed like Tennessee, it helped keep them stuck in the mud a little bit, and it's kind of the reason Tennessee scored 26 points.
The Cade Mays injury felt like it was massive, too, because the offensive line really struggled for the most of the second half, didn't it seem like? I mean, Hooker take
the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, really. It's kind of crazy that we rushed for 222 yards because it really felt like, especially in the second half, we couldn't run the football and we kept trying to do it.
The only time we could run was with Hendon Hooker.
Right.
Hinton Hooker had a great game.
Didn't do it at all in the first half. I mean, most of his runs were in the second half.
Hinton Hooker had a great game, especially on the ground.
The bad sack, though, man. Like, I think Hooker played great, too. But, man, what's more frustrating to me than the whole 4th and 24 is the fact that you got to 4th and 24. The fact that we had 1st and 10 at midfield. We got Ole Miss completely on their heels. They may have flopped in that situation. I was going to say, I think they did. So, it did slow down the momentum a little bit. But still, man, sack and then a holding penalty. And back-to-back plays. Like, that's just killer. Like, you just can't take a sack in that situation. Just can't.
It was two drives in a row where you had a sack or a holding penalty stop you. I mean, Tennessee was backed up first and 19. And then, you know, to me, that's when I was just kind of like, what are we doing, Hypo? Like, you haven't been able to run the ball, and you're going to try to run the ball with, I mean, your walk-on running back that's on scholarship now. Like, no disrespect to Marcus Pierce. I mean, I'm not wanting to single him out, but, like,
he sucks.
I mean, he's a walk-on, fourth-year guy, fifth-year guy. It's like
help, he is what he is.
Like, helps build your program. Like, I don't want to disrespect him because, I mean, he is what a lot of people love about college football. When he scored against Missouri, that was really cool. But, like, bro, like, he's not supposed to be getting fourth-quarter carries in a one-possession game against a top-15 team. Like, that's not supposed to be happening. And I understand that, like, you just kind of ran out of bodies. Like, you know, Dion's hurt. Small's shoulder. Like, he's just completely bothered by his shoulder. And, you know, Whitehead, I believe, lost his helmet. So, like, then you put Pearson, you try to get some rhythm going, but like you can have him in the game and
throw the damn ball,
have him be a lead blocker for another, like a Hinton Hooker, like just draw or something. Like, you don't have to give him the ball, and like that was frustrating on a drive that Tennessee needed and could have taken the lead with. And shout out to Mitchell for sending it in. It wasn't West Virginia, it was Bowling Green, where the guy lost his shoe and then just played dead as Tennessee was lined up getting ready to score to go up 21-3. He just flopped down and acted like he was dead so they could come out and put his shoe on. So, like, that was, what, 2014? 15? Oh, yeah, 2015. Yep. So, I mean, like, this has been going on for a long time. If you're tired, if you need a break, just go down. Because we're not going to tell the unpaid amateurs, suck it up, you're not actually hurt. We're going to err on the side of safety as we, you know, ram our heads into each other for 4 hours. Got to protect the players, though, when it comes to the cramps, again, in 50-degree water.
Well, sit them out the rest of the series. If you really want to protect them, make sure they're not hurt. Get them checked up, rest of the series. And if they go down twice, they're out for the rest of the quarter, rest of the half, rest of the game.
That's all.
That's what I think.
It's an easy fix because you can just say, like, hey, we're doing it for player safety.
Exactly.
Like, we can't
this
guy here and have him cramp up and get hurt. Like, it's easy to say, and that's a way to do it without accusing everyone of abusing the rule.
Right.
That was frustrating, and that got the crowd into a tizzy. Like, that is really what got the crowd venomous, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Now, did you guys see anything? You were in the student section, right, Hayden? Did you see anything with the Lane Kiffin fire extinguisher? People keep talking about that, but I didn't notice it on the other side. Like, you didn't see it?
No. Well, I haven't even heard anything about that.
Well, somebody tweeted me about it yesterday. I've done a little bit looking into it, and, like, apparently Ole Miss has a fire extinguisher on the sideline that they spray after big.
Yeah, they were showing it on
TV. Yeah,
for a little bit.
Yeah, I saw that on the sideline.
They showed it a couple times.
So, like, they shoot out a fire extinguisher after big plays?
Yeah, there's
so
a guy just right out there spraying it.
Yeah, it was right after a touchdown. I think they were about to go on kickoff. You know how they're always jumping up and down, getting hopped up. And then, one guy was just, like, just waving it around, basically, and they're all just jumping around in the smoke.
Because some people would say, like, they'd kind of got it, like, towards the student section, like, right in front of the student section with the fire extinguisher.
Well, it was a little.
Well, yeah, like, just, like, in front. Like, right, I don't know if any mist comes down. But it's just, like, people were saying that was a part of Ole Miss, like, taunting the crowd all night. Because that's what I found so laughable is we're talking about Ole Miss's safety and all this. Like, Ole Miss was hyping up the crowd and, like, going, like, full wrestling kill with it, which is their right. Like, if I was on that sideline, that's what you would want to be doing. Like, you feel like you've won the game and, like, screw those people. But, like, they weren't afraid. Mm-mm. It wasn't like, I don't know if you guys saw, like, Trey Wallace had quote tweeted that video of down in Alabama, that high school game where shots were ringing out. Those people were afraid for their life. Those people hit the deck. Those people were trying to scramble to get into the locker room. Ole Miss fans were celebrating. Ole Miss players were celebrating. No one was afraid for their lives. But you didn't see the fire extinguishers. But, Cam, you saw it on TV?
Yeah, they showed it on TV a couple times.
Okay.
It was a little smoky. I just thought that was people just puffing on some vapes in the student section. Honestly.
Okay.
I mean, really. I'm being honest.
Okay. Well, I didn't see it either because I was on the other side.
Yeah.
Again, third row, not to brag. But.
Wow. Cool flex.
For free. I told you it'd work out.
Always does for you,
doesn't
it?
I tell you. Always does. If it's meant to be, it'll happen. If it's meant to be, it'll happen. And I was just destined to be there for another heartbreaking, soul-crushing loss.
Yeah, right.
and then to get stuck there for an extra 35 minutes. As
oh, man. That made getting me so angry.
I was so cold. At that point, I'd gotten cold. I'm just like, can we just get the game? I was like, I think we'll get the ball back, but like, let's just get it on with. I was like, or can we forfeit? Because then, like, I think if it's a forfeit, maybe we don't lose all our bets. Like, maybe we could do that.
It's only 2-0 if you forfeit.
I was kind of like, hey, Hayden, keep throwing stuff over there. Like, let's come on, guys, really ramp it up. Let's start a riot. Let's just get this game called.
It was over a 20-minute delay.
I think I saw, like, 35, but really? I
saw over 20 minutes for
okay.
sure.
I didn't look at my clock. I know it was well after midnight when the game started back.
I know I got back at about 2 a.m.
Then traffic. I was surprised traffic was still so bad because half the stadium had left during
right.
the break.
Right, you would think.
Well, it was pretty cool, though. One of my favorite moments was watching what remained of the student section just sprinting down to the front to get loud.
That did look cool on TV, too.
Yeah.
But
yeah. That was cool. And then I thought, okay, we might score here. Why not us?
Why not us?
Because it's Tennessee. That's why not us.
There's some good fights in that break, too.
Yeah? Like in the student section?
Oh, yeah.
Just people throwing... We're like, was it based off of people throwing stuff on the field and people trying to stop them, or was it just like
people were just mad?
So it just led to fights.
Just wanted to get after it. Yeah, it was some Tennessee, just Tennessee versus Tennessee, pretty much. There was an Ole Miss guy like three rows in front of us, and I really was like worried for his life. Like, so people were talking about how
they're going to hurt him.
Oh yeah,
honestly, yeah. That's
to put it lightly.
I didn't. That's how I felt leaving the stadium whenever I went to New England. And we ended Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's relationship. They were so mad leaving the stadium that, you know, like, I was like, oh, my. Like, they're fighting. They're yelling at each other. But I was waiting, like, are they going to notice it, like, me and this other Tennessee fan's just standing here? Like, and then at one point, somebody behind me was like, first Tennessee fan I see, I'm going to punch them in the face. And I just kind of looked back at their laugh, you know, like, just joking with me. But I was like, oh, God. Oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, there was some Ole Miss fans when I was walking out. They, like, took their hats off for, like, holding up. They didn't want anybody to know. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say, like, that probably wasn't warranted. I think oh, my God, what if a water bottle hits you? I mean, okay, relax. People throw batteries. Like, people are like, the Philadelphia Eagles used to always get, like, praise for, like, oh, this is tough to play here. They throw batteries at people. Look at this reel from the 70s. They hit Santa Claus with snowballs. They booed Santa Claus and threw snowballs at him. Look at this. Look at these fans. They're so wild. And then with us, it's like, oh, my God. The travesty. European soccer fans, like, shoot flares off and bombs in the stadium. And, like, we're the worst fans in the world. And I'm like, okay, let's chill out a little bit. Let's relax. And, by the way, he's probably not listening because he doesn't seem to be our type. But if you're the guy that was, like, celebrating, like, when you caught Lane Kiffin's visor, as if you had
what I was thinking on Saturday night.
As if you had caught the bouquet at a wedding, you, sir, can go to hell.
Yeah.
That was the most embarrassing part of the night for me.
If you're in that position, you got to be pouring some drinks on him or something at the tunnel.
I mean, you definitely just throw the visor back at him. You treat it like it's a treat it like it's a baseball game, like they hit a home run to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes those people will throw a fake ball back and keep the real one, but I'm sure nobody had a real visor there, but, like, you got to throw it back. You can't, hold off your friends and act like you caught the damn bouquet. That was embarrassing.
Yep. Yep.
That was the most embarrassing part of the night. Man, just another stupid loss. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. So you're...
Don't get me started, love. I've had too much to drink.
Logan writes in, are we concerned that other teams in our schedule will try to slow down the offense by getting injured? Yeah, 100%. 100%. Like, that is a concern.
Why wouldn't you? If there's no penalty, nothing like that, I mean.
Now, I do think our offense is just going to be in trouble moving forward anyways if you lose Hendon Hooker because, I mean, I think he was very important to this offense. So,
is there any positives?
I don't think the teams are going to feel the need to do it anymore, to be honest.
Is there any positives that Hopple said Hooker, Tyon Evans, and Kay Mays are probably – day-to-day
probably
at this point?
Day-to-day.
That's what he said. Probably in quotes, too. In quotation marks.
He's out for the rest of the season.
Who?
Hooker.
I think he'll be out for the rest of the season as well. Look,
he looked bad.
This is not me reporting. It's just the vibe I got. And I got to be honest, I was a little frustrated by Josh Heupel. The play calling, yeah, aside. But, like, he told us on Monday, like, yeah, it looks like we're going to be full strength. Like, Tyon's going to be ready to go. Mm-hmm. Cooper May is going to be ready to go. And then neither one of those guys played. So, excuse me if I don't care about what he says about somebody probably being day-to-day.
And why would you bring him back for the Alabama game?
Again.
A backup quarterback. Like,
don't,
what the hell?
Don't bring anybody back against Alabama. You got a bye week afterwards. Just,
yep.
I would assume that's why they didn't play Tyon. Was just going to give him 2 weeks, you know, an extra 2 weeks to get fully healthy. I thought maybe you let him play this week and then give him 2 weeks off, but whatever. But, you know, it's going to be all hands on deck to try to beat Kentucky because, let's face it, you're not beating Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely weren't going to beat Alabama or even stay close when you had Hendon Hooker either. So.
So that line surprised you when it came out? Or
that was 29?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
mean,
the injury is probably just a huge part of it.
I mean, I don't even know yet. Do they know that, like, Hooker's out? So they're just, or does it matter? Does Hooker move the spread at all? Like, who cares?
I feel like probably might have been closer to like 24, but
Tennessee's defense has played well enough to where like 29 seems like a lot. Like, I mean, again, yeah. they did hold Ole Miss to 31 points. Now, even if you say like, okay, make it 45 for
Alabama,
like, you don't think Tennessee can score 15? Now, maybe they can't with Joe Milton, but, like, you know, that was before he was officially ruled out. When I say he, I mean Hendon Hooker, of course. So yeah, I was a little surprised with the spread, although, you know, I don't. Not going to cry about disrespect. It should be 26 instead of 29. I mean,
that 27 and a half right now.
They're only going to beat us by 24. Nice. We'll definitely lose by only 24. Come on. Like, I mean, who cares? It's the worst possible feeling, like, to play this Alabama game after that game, too. Just, you know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You got a bye week. So, like, it's going to be another 2 weeks before you really get an idea of what to – your team's going to look like. Moving forward.
Do you think we're getting more injuries this year because of the offense? Like, just the pace? Or
no, I just think they just have done a bad job managing them. Like, would Cooper May still be out if we didn't have him out there limping around in the fourth quarter against Florida? Like, as he's, like, laboring? Like, should he have maybe played the Florida game at all if he was in that bad of shape? Like, I mean, that still stands out to me. So, you know, maybe they're being cautious with Tyon Evans because of that, which, you know, if you learn your lesson, that's fine. But, like, you know, I'm not going to blame the offense because I don't think of us as having too many injuries, really. I mean, Cooper Mays and
Cade
got hurt. But, like, Cade, what did Cade get hurt with?
He got – I don't know, but he got hurt on that play that didn't even count.
Yeah, that was so weird. Did he get pushed and, like, buckle his knee? Is that what happened? I couldn't really see it.
It was an inside zone play, so, like –
but the play didn't happen,
like,
right? It got
– crashing down. Like,
yes, they for some reason stopped and reviewed a play that was very obviously, like, short of the first down line. Like, the Velus Jones, like, nine-and-a-half-yard catch.
I mean, it's probably like a rolled up ankle or something in that big pile because it was fourth and one. But
I'm not gonna blame. Like, who knows? Maybe he wouldn't have got hurt had the whistle not blown. Like, maybe the whistle blowing, you know, you go half speed, you're starting to pull up, and the defense doesn't, you get rolled up. Again, I don't exactly remember what happened or see like the play, but two linemen get hurt, a running back sprains an ankle. Like, Hooker got hurt kind of on a fluke play as well. Like, I'm not going to blame the pace of the offense. Now, you could say, like, you're playing more plays. So, like, yeah, injury risk is going to be a little higher when you're running 90 plays versus 60. Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Ole Miss ran how many plays?
Hundreds.
So it was like 111.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
they broke
111
for sure.
Plays.
Yeah, it was like
total.
Wasn't that the most plays they ever ran?
My God.
In the game?
I mean, that's
pretty sure.
Yeah, that's
insane. They broke 100. I remember.
Yeah,
I heard
for
that
sure.
Yesterday.
Absolutely.
My God.
Yeah, I think Tennessee only ran like 70 or something.
What?
Yeah, no, we were like 20 or 30
they
below.
They dominated
them.
Time of possession at the end of the day.
The first half was
I'll see
way
if I can
worse.
Find the actual
like,
numbers.
We kind of got a little bit back in the second half, but it was still like 32 to 20 something. But the first half was way worse.
It was 34 to 25 time of possession, Ole Miss.
And that doesn't seem like a 40-play difference.
Yeah. Ole Miss really, I mean – what was their biggest play? They didn't hit a whole lot of big plays. They had a big pass play.
Had a 30-yard run on that draw at the middle.
Yeah, and then they had a big pass play.
It was like second and 20 when he did that too, right, or something.
They got something inside the 10 where he kind of came across the middle, ran up the sideline a little bit, and it was like a 30, 40-yard pass play. But other than that, I felt like it was just a lot of short yardage.
Well, we'd stop them. We'd knock them back for 2 or 3 yards. Like, every run was either a 2-yard loss or 2-yard gain, basically.
Yeah.
And then Corral would get to third and medium or fourth and short and just scramble and get it. I didn't think Heupel called a great game. I thought Heupel did not give Tennessee the best chance to win on Saturday. It's not me, like, bashing him or anything. But, like, when you're playing Ole Miss, bro, like, you got to be a little bit more aggressive on fourth downs.
The fourth and one where he punted it?
That bothered me a lot at the time when you look at the context of like you got stuffed on the fourth and you did try to go for it when you got up with pace and you got stopped. Then they review and then you're starting right tackles out, so maybe you don't want to go for it. You know, with him being out. Yeah. So you know, at the time,
the first quarter too. So it was
sure,
like,
yeah. But Ole Miss did go right down the field and score on you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, they got helped by a muff punt, but like they had shown the signs like they were going to be able to move the ball. Like they're Ole Miss, their offense is really good. Although you know, again, the defense did its job, so maybe Heupel was right in that regard. But like, what are we doing? We're down 5, and we're kicking a field goal, a 50-yard field goal on 4th and 10. Whenever, like, it seemed like we could get a 10-yard pass every time we wanted it.
Did it not? Like, we were hitting those curl routes.
It was open the entire time.
Corners could not cover Velas on the outside, Set on the outside. Like, that was my thing. And we just kept trying to, like, run the football when we really, like you said, the only running we had was Hooker. We just kept trying to run it in the inside zone. Like, even on the 2nd and 15, and it was like 1st and 15, inside zone. 2nd and 15, we ran it again. I was like, no way. On 1st and 15, we just ran the ball twice and pretty much gained nothing. And the next thing you know, it's 3rd and long again.
Yeah.
And we just aren't. We don't have the offense to be converting 3rd and longs the whole game. We just don't.
A lot of missed opportunities. Like I said, the 4th and 1 in the first quarter, I'll excuse that. But, like, no disrespect if he's listening, but Chase McGrath, has he hit a good field goal this year? No, I'm not saying he hasn't made one because he's made some. But, like, does it not seem like every one of his field goals is just kind of a knuckleball that, like, it's kind of lucky if it goes in? Like, it seems like a lot of them – have like looks like it's gonna go to the right and then it's kind of come back to the middle. Like he hasn't hit any pure, is what I'm saying.
They do always look weird. Look
bad. It barely went to the uprights. I thought
that's like, what I'm saying. Like everyone he makes is still like it's an adventure. I feel like now I feel like his percentage isn't that bad, but like we're really gonna just do a 4th and 10, 50-yard field goal to turn a 1-score game into a 1-score game. Like that's really what we're gonna do. Okay, I guess, and you miss it. And then Ole Miss goes right down the field and scores to make it 31-19. Now, sure, Tennessee got off the mat and went down and scored again to, you know, keep it a 5-point game. But stuff like that was a little frustrating. I didn't think Heupel was aggressive enough. Maybe it's because they're banged up and you don't trust the guys. I don't know. I'm sure if you asked him, he would just talk about game flow because that's always an easy excuse. And almost always, game flow just means you're actually going to kick the ball. And you have to have something to blame because you're going to put down analytics and just talk about, well, yeah, you got to have a feel for the game. Feel for the game always says to punt.
If I did the math right, we ran 83 plays and they ran 101.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's not as big of a discrepancy.
Yeah, not as big as I thought. Still a lot of plays. Still a lot of plays. Yeah. For a defense that's pretty thin.
Wasted opportunity. I mean, that was a kind of a perfect chance for Josh Heupel and Tennessee to get a signature win against a team that I'm not going to say you're better than, but it seemed like you're pretty even with them.
We were better than Ole Miss.
Seems like you're pretty even with
them. We were
better,
I think.
Now, maybe if Tyon Evans and Cade Mays plays the full game and Cooper plays, like you're better than them, but like Ole Miss had injuries too, so like they had legit injuries that kept their players out, not just the fake cramps.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they had, what, like most of their receivers out. Wasn't that kind
That's
of
why
they
kept dropping
thing?
The ball, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, Tennessee could have gotten a big win. And Josh Heupel could have a signature moment, a top 15 win in front of, again, just an absolutely gorgeous crowd, a loud crowd. And we just came up short, and it's just kind of what we always do.
Yep.
We find new ways to do it. This time it was like, hey, you're going to get stopped on 4th and 24. When you try to throw like a 18-yard pass to a tight end, and seeing the steal shot of whenever he has the ball 5 yards away and that safety come, like how does he not get that first down?
He's just kind of stumbling as soon as he caught it. Yeah, he was already off balance, and it was just
It looked like he got it.
You gotta make a play there. You gotta make that play and stay up. Get that half a yard. You gotta be able to do that.
Don't be in a 4th and 24.
I mean, yes, but
no one's blaming Warren. I mean,
I'm just saying like.
He shouldn't be the guy who gets the ball on 4th and 24.
Right,
but like,
exactly.
Catching it wide,
shouldn't be in
like
that situation
open in that situation. You have the room to get the first down.
If you get
the
when
point.
You do catch the ball, you should be able to pick up the first down if you're an SEC tight end. Yeah. Now, if you're tripping, like, okay, it's fine, but like, you got
to
keep your feet.
You still got to be able to have enough balance, or at least have the awareness to have the ball in your hand that you're reaching out.
Yeah.
You know?
As much as I wanted to say it, like, I, you know, Live, it looked way short. On the replays, it still looks short to me. Like, especially when you consider that, like, your shin is down. Like, he didn't stay up long enough.
Was the top management not kind of brutal there on that drive, too? Yeah. They were, like, letting the clock run.
We did a lot of dumb stuff.
Why were we letting the clock run, knowing, like, hey, 4th and 24, there's, like, a really good chance
we're
not going to convert this. And you got Hooker, like, running around. He stays in bounds on the third down play where he gained, like, 3 yards.
It wouldn't even matter if he went out of bounds, actually, because, I mean, the clock only stops inside 2 minutes in college. Like, he could have ran out if he wanted, but, like, just throw the ball out of bounds, bro.
Yeah.
The 40 seconds is worth more. No, like I said, the game management was bad. It was almost like Heupel wanted to score, like, with 10 seconds left to win the game, even though I believe at that point Matt Corral was already out of the game.
Yep.
Although maybe, I guess, maybe he was.
He came back in on the final possessions.
No, he didn't. I don't think so.
You sure about that one?
I'm not positive, but I did not think he was back in. I thought he was out. Because they definitely didn't let him do anything.
No, he was in. Because on the final play, he ran it on that 3rd and 12 and lost.
Okay,
like,
so that was him
there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
I thought that was still the backup. Okay.
I think the backup only played that one play after the timeout.
Yeah,
they wasted a timeout on that for, like, no reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, they took a timeout, I guess, to see if Corral would be good enough to come back in.
Yeah, Kiffin, like, gave him a high five, was like, he's like, going to try to tough it out. And then a timeout, he must be like, no, I'm actually not going back out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought that was still Corral, but never mind. Just wasted opportunities, man. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Small businesses are struggling right now.
I thumb away from L.A. back to Knoxville. I found out those bright lights.
That song's depressing. I don't know why you guys always play it. It just depresses me.
Well, seems like where we were for today.
Any positives, man? Is there any positive we can take away?
The fans, the crowd.
Maybe the fact just like preseason didn't think we'd be here. I mean, it was a close game at least.
Didn't think we'd be 4-3. I mean, I don't think anyone thought that was too far-fetched.
The fact that we played a last-second game against a, top 15 team.
You lost. We're not doing moral victories for that game. I'm sorry. If you want to keep
that.
If you want to look at the big picture and say, hey, the team's playing better than you think, okay. I'll listen to you there. But no, we're not doing moral victories for losing that game. Nope. Blew too many opportunities. I mean, is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yep.
It is.
I'm with y'all on a lot of things. Like, we'll keep big picture. Again, I don't want to sound like I'm bashing Josh Heupel. It is what it is. I mean, sometimes things go poorly for whatever reason. And I thought that, you know, it went poorly for us in a couple aspects. That's fine.
I'm pretty concerned just going forward with Heupel. Like, he's not a bad coach. I thought he did okay, whatever. But situationally, he's pretty bad. He's pretty bad situationally. Big moments, time management, play calling in big moments, like, it's been pretty brutal. That's my one biggest thing. And the only way to win these big games like this is you got to be good situationally. You got to be good down the stretch. You got to make those big plays. First and 10 at 50, you got to find a way to score against a bad defense. Like you do.
It seems as if he is a front runner. Which is okay. Some guys are, and, you know, if his destiny is to be 7-5 here and just beat up on the bad teams.
Is this too much to say? Is this unfair to say about him?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't.
Because when you say front runner, it just feels like a Butch Jones 8-14 that just always kind of underachieves but beats the teams they usually should.
Yeah.
And that's pretty discouraging, though.
Now, I think more people are in denial about that with Butch Jones, though.
Yeah.
And that's what ultimately was the problem. Like, if you know this and you all have an understanding about it, like, and I'm not saying he can't go to a different level, but right now through however many games, 7, he is a front runner. When things are going well, the offense looks great. Whenever you have rhythm and you're able to go fast and you're hitting big plays, everything goes well. And outside of that, it doesn't seem like, you know, we have really managed situations properly or that we, you know, if we really shocked anybody or overcame, like, you know, something bad. It seems like, you know, if the drive starts out well, it'll go well. If you get 3rd and 13, you might be in trouble. He's not going to know what to do when it comes to timeouts or fourth down situations or challenges when it came, you know, to the Pittsburgh game. And, again, that's okay for now. He can improve. You know, as someone who's already been a head coach for a while, it seems a little bit, you know, less likely that he would improve in that regard. You know, with Pruitt, you kind of was letting him learn on the fly a little bit. With Heupel, maybe at this point he just kind of is who he is.
Yeah.
And even then, though, like, I do think if Sed Tillman jumps half a second later and catches that touchdown, we were talking about how we overcame adversity and won a big game. So
it's
sometimes a little foolish to take away, you know, big sweeping statements like that. I know that's kind of what we have to do here. It's kind of our job, but I come back to, like, that's Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
I know they had a number 13 next to our name, but, like, that to me is – they're better, obviously, than Missouri and South Carolina, but, like, it – they're a long ways away from Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
And their defense is terrible. Their defense is absolutely terrible. You can't not score more than at least 30 points on this defense.
Right.
That's pretty disappointing.
Right. So if you ask me, like, what I think when it comes to beating the better teams, don't have a lot of confidence. Like, next year, can we go into Pittsburgh and beat them when Kenny Pickett's gone? Maybe. Can we go down to LSU and beat whoever's going to be coaching them in year one? I kind of wish it was still going to be Ed Orgeron, but, like, maybe. Maybe we can go on the road and beat them. Do I think we're going to beat Florida at home? Possibly. Possibly. Maybe. That's kind of going to be the goal of, like, next year. I think you'll have people saying win two of those three. If you beat LSU and Pittsburgh, maybe you don't even have to beat Florida. But win two of those three, that'll probably be what people are hoping for. I do like him, though. I do like Heupel. I thought even after the game he hit the right notes. I mean, when you have Don DePlowman acting like, you know, we have assassinated someone. At least Heupel's just like, you know what, we're passionate. We got passionate fans here.
He did say the right thing.
He's like, should have happened? No, but we're passionate. Like, he knows. He does a good job when it comes to that, and I do appreciate it. I do appreciate it, and I think everyone will be a little bit more patient with him because of that. And, you know, some behind-the-scenes stuff seems like Danny White maybe gets it as well, because there are some people out there saying that I guess the rumor out there is that Danny called the SEC, or I guess maybe the SEC called him about what happened, and he kind of let him have it over the officiating. And how stupid it was that they would give that same crew a game after how they botched the Mississippi State-Memphis game.
Three of the worst.
And the Auburn-Georgia Southern game. Was it Georgia State game?
Three of the worst referee games in the last 2 years, because they also did the Auburn-Arkansas game last year.
And it's the same crew.
Same crew.
All the same crew. Yeah.
It was
most of the same crew. They're not all
same,
the exact
like lead guys,
same.
Yeah.
We got to hold these refs accountable, man. That's
we did. Record. We threw things at them.
Oh, maybe a little
we
bit
did.
More serious.
Why do you think we were throwing
more
water bottles? We were trying to hold the SEC and the refs accountable. We're doing the best we can.
These refs should get suspended for a game.
They're never going to do that, though, because they're never going to admit that something was actually wrong. They're going to say they actually did pretty well for most of the game. And, yeah, you know, this interpretation of the rule might upset you, but we understand why they made it.
I'm His pretty sure progress they're already not allowed to do any more Arkansas games ever again.
Really?
Yeah. I looked up just Mark Curls last night, and that's what the first article that came up for an Arkansas thing, that they weren't going to be allowed to do it again.
Probably won't let them come back to Tennessee anymore either. Yeah. Hour one of Talk Sports is brought to you by The Book at Harris Cherokee. Take advantage of their huge viewing gear with a 90-foot screen. Their three private fan caves are the ultimate way to experience game day with your friends. Maybe take a little Monday Night Football in. Ooh. I'm going to take a little Monday Night Football in up at The Book at Harris Cherokee. Live betting. It's a different animal. Go experience it and support the people who support us. Cam, send us a break. We'll kick off hour two of headlines.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill, you want the best medical care available. The vets and staff at Admiral Vet are ready to provide your pet with cutting-edge veterinary medical care. From wellness exams and vaccines to advanced